Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. LaFoss Corporation, LLC.
It was about 1998. I had the idea that maybe I should try to make my life a little bit simpler, and I thought maybe I could actually live outside of New York City. We looked everywhere for something that would be very private, very rural, the antithesis of New York City. We didn't want anything that would be even remotely suburban. You know, we really wanted something very secluded. And finally found what seemed to me like the perfect idyllic country house that was on 17 acres, very, very private, like the grounds. There were two ponds that were really beautiful, and all these stone pathways that went throughout all the, you know, the 17 acres. You really could take walks all over the property, and it was, again, like very, very private. The cool part was that the house hadn't really been changed since it was built in the 20s. You know, it hadn't been modernized. It was just too beautiful to pass up, so we bought it. Sometimes I would take little walks myself on the property, and I would see this, like, a woman walking, usually, like, kind of at dusk, and I thought it must be, the neighbors were pretty far away. You know, I thought it was a woman that lived in this other house walking, you know, just taking a walk on her property, and maybe it was, you know, she sort of crossed over into ours. But I never could really see her, you know, it was off in the distance. She would always wear like a scarf or something, like tied, I couldn't really see, like some kind of a head scarf or something, and she would be walking. And I saw her several times. I saw someone walking on the paths. I never actually saw her up close. I only would only ever see her at a distance. I asked my husband, "Have you seen our neighbor?" He said, "That woman with the gray veil, or the woman with the gray scarf." And he had seen the same thing that I saw. So the house itself was we could move in pretty easily, you know. There were little things to do, but nothing major. Certain things were sort of getting a little bit run down. We were slowly unpacking things, and the whole time there were weird things like light bulbs sputtering and flashing on and off, weird electrical things. A light bulb just kind of like exploded in the socket in the ceiling. It just all happened so fast and made like a black ring on the ceiling. And that was kind of weird. You know, I always had that sense of doom, or sense that something tragic could happen at any moment. And then there was a giant greenhouse, like an old, one of those glass, old glass paneled greenhouses, like total gray garden style. And I always felt, every time I walked in that greenhouse, I always felt like there was someone in there. The greenhouse was especially creepy. We're really getting settled in the house, but there was something a little bit odd about it, because the feeling in the house was much more I guess what you would call ghost-like. You know, it was much more, you know, that feeling like you think you see someone and then it's nothing, or you feel something as you're standing in a room, you feel something brush by you. Or I would see, you know, this like sort of apparition in the corner of a room. I always felt like sort of grayish, you know, that image of something gray. That's how it was in the house. I felt the presence of someone in the house all the time. It was getting to be right around Christmas, so I thought, to really dress things up, I'll buy a gigantic, gigantic wreath to put over the fireplace. So it was maybe like 4 or 5 feet in diameter, a giant wreath, and hung it over the fireplace. And friends were coming that night, and my husband, he was like, whatever you do, don't light the candles on the fireplace. Don't, you know, like, whatever you do. And I was like, of course, I would never, never, no way am I going to light those candles. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what came over me, but right before my friends got there, I lit the candles. I knew I wouldn't do it, and something made me do it. And the second the match lit, the wreath went, the flame jumped 15 inches from the candle to the wreath.
Oh my God.
Up like a ball of fire. It was seriously like something made me do it. I totally remember the whole, like, every second of it. Like, it was, you know, like, it wasn't me doing it. It was like, walk over, light a match, light the candle, the whole wreath. And smoke filled up the room immediately. I've never seen anything happen that fast. Filled with black smoke, to the point where I had to literally crawl out below the smoke, literally such a huge fire, so fast, and just thick black smoke, coughing, choking. I grab my husband, we run out, get out of the house, we're calling the fire department. They're up in the attic with axes, breaking through the ceiling and the floor up there, and they're, you know, pulling down chunks of plaster off the wall. So basically, the room is destroyed. That whole half of the house is destroyed. But the fire's out. The firemen, I realize, looked a little sort of spooked when they got there. Just a little, I don't know, sort of uneasy and a little surprised. The fire chief was at the house, and I said, you know, I don't know, it's just so weird. It's like light bulbs and the fire, and don't you think that's so, it's a little, doesn't make me feel very welcome that, you know, we move in and we have a fire like 2 weeks later. And he said, well, I didn't really want to tell you this because I didn't want to scare you. I didn't want you to feel uncomfortable in the house, but you know who used to own the house? The woman that built the house, who's the only other person that's ever lived in the house, was the heiress to the Diamond Match fortune, whose father started Diamond Matches, who was badly burned and disfigured in a fire in her father's match factory as a teenager. And so she built that house so that she could live in privacy and yet live in a sort of grand manner, because she had the family's fortune, lived in the house her entire life, never left. And actually died in the house. He said that he had grown up not far from her, and as a kid, he and his friends always wanted to try to see her because it was sort of like the town lore. They would try to go trick-or-treating at her house, but it was always the butler that would deliver the treats, and so they never actually saw her, but she was never seen by anyone ever. And if she was, she would always wear a gray veil. And that is the creepiest thing, because that's the woman that we saw walking in the woods. My husband and I both said that was what we saw. And both of us had the exact image of a woman in a gray veil. It almost creeps me out to say anything now, because it makes me feel like something, you know, something bad is going to happen. Like, I almost don't want to talk about it now, even. It really is something that I definitely felt like we were not wanted there. You know, eventually we sold the house. I couldn't keep on living there. I never could ever feel like it was my house. It was always her house.
Hi, this is Jenny Ashford, the author of House of Fire and Whispers, Investigating the Seattle Demon House, and you're listening to Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast with Aaron Hunter. All of
this is Welcome. I'm Aaron Hunter, purveyor of paranormal stories, the occult, and the unexplained. Welcome to RPA. I hope you enjoy your stay. Hey guys, Aaron here, and it is April 22nd, 2024, episode 321. How's everyone out there around the world doing? And man, as always, glad to be back in the hot seat. Announcements! Tomorrow, Tuesday, there will not be a new episode of Aaron's Horror Show, but he'll be back next week. Yep, he is back. And this Wednesday, there will not be a new episode of Terry's Mysterious Moments, but he'll be back next week as well. And this Thursday, a new episode of Strange Reality will be released. And also, as always, this Friday, two new entertaining short films. And that's about it. I don't know about you guys here in the States, but the weather's been up and down, up and down. Pretty warm weather during the day, but at night it does get chilly. Hopefully that will change soon. And of course, we have this political strife in the Middle East. But I'm not going to talk much about that. Hopefully everything ends up well. And of course, you guys don't want to hear anything about that. So let's just get on with the show. And you guys know what that means. Yeah, more listener stories. And so, to the story then. Follow me right this way. No pushing, no shoving. And the fans are going nice and cool in here. Grab a beanbag over there in the corner. And go to the freezer over there in the corner and get yourself a popsicle. As you guys are doing that, as usual, get behind my desk here. Oh, man. And I printed off Britt's packet. Let's see what stories she has picked out for us today. All right. Well, we got a short one and two medium ones. All right. Let me take a sip of my green tea real quick. Oh, man. So good when it hits the lips. All right. The first one. This one is by Stringer, and it's titled School Hallway. Okay, Stringer, let's see what you got, man. My 13-year-old daughter had a short-term illness when she was 4 years old, shortly after my father, her grandfather, had died. I was holding her in a family room chair, and she started giggling and pointing up at a step into the kitchen. I asked her what she was laughing about, and she replied, "It's Poppy." Her name for my father. "He's so funny." I asked her what she saw, and she said, "It's Poppy, he's right there." I didn't say any more of it to her at the time, but she still recounts the experience now. Recently, she has been seeing a man who she describes quite elaborately, down to the clothing he is wearing, who appears at her school and is in the same place in a corner of a hallway she passes each morning. He's standing and sometimes gesturing to her in a wave or a shoulder shrug. One time he was trying to tell her with his arm gestures to turn around for some reason. And one time her great-grandmother was with him. She died within the last 2 years. And one time, the same grandfather, Poppy, was with him. I asked her how she responds to him, and she tells me that she smiles and sometimes waves discreetly because middle school friends are around. She says that when she looks away after seeing him, he is not there when she looks back. She doesn't seem fearful or negative toward the experience. But it is rather interesting in who it is and why he is there. We talk about her day every night at bedtime, and some nights I ask her if she has seen him. She answers yes about half the time. Thank you for reading. And that's from Stringer. Stringer, thank you very much for sharing. I loved it. You know, that's interesting. Poppy shows up in her school, and grandmother shows up at her school sometimes, but there's this one stranger that she doesn't recognize, it seems, and it seems like it's trying to communicate to her. It's interesting. Don't know. Here's a question for you parents out there. I always wonder what you guys do when, you know, a young child such as this sees something like that. What actions do you guys take? Do you just believe in it, or do you take them to speak with somebody, you know, a psychiatrist of sorts? I can understand the grandparents might be appearing to her, you know, imagination-wise, but what's with this stranger ghost, so to speak, that's showing up at her school? That's kind of interesting to think about. Yeah, Stringer, thank you very much for sharing. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that one. All right, what's next? What do we got? This one is by Izzy, and it's titled Old Man. Okay, Izzy, let's see what you got, man. For those that know Johannesburg, Florida, there are a lot of townhouses and complexes that are rather old. In saying that, there are people that lived there for a long time and also died there as well. My brother, after just getting married, bought a two-bedroom flat in Florida. A beautiful flat, but was always cold even in the summer. One day he calls me before the weekend and asks me to come and spend the weekend over to help him with something. I gladly accepted because I like spending time with him and his wife and 2-year-old daughter. He had his firstborn daughter at the time. As I got there, I took my stuff to my niece's bedroom, assuming that I would be sleeping in her room. I noticed that they have moved their belongings to the child's bedroom and moved her stuff to the main bedroom. I asked them about it, and they nervously said that he needed me to help him move the furniture from one room to the other room. So I thought nothing of it and settled in. Night came, and after watching movies with them, we all headed to sleep. At the time, there was something called Mixit, and I was chatting for about an hour or so and decided to log off. I placed my phone under my pillow and laid on my right side. A few minutes passed, and I felt my head going down in the pillow as if something was putting pressure down on the pillow in front of my face. I was so scared that I couldn't even open my eyes. I don't know how I ended up falling asleep after that. But the next morning, I remembered what had happened. I explained to my brother what had happened, and he called his wife and sat down. He told me that I just confirmed that there was something and they were not going crazy. He said there is an old man in that room and convinced my niece to climb on the ladder to jump through the window. My sister-in-law got there just in time to catch her before she almost jumped. After that, she asked her, and my niece told her mom that it was the old man that told me. Sometimes, after removing the batteries from toys, they still hear the toys making sounds in the closet or wardrobe. They stay there for another 2 to 3 years until they decided to move out and buy a house, where some strange things are happening as well. But that's another story for another time. Love the stories. And that's from Izzy. Izzy, thank you very much for sharing. Loved it. I wouldn't have stayed there for another 2 or 3 years. You know, that's kind of dangerous if your niece is listening to this old man. But it looks like they're glad that you came over, because it looks like you just confirmed that there is something going on there. Yeah, I would have left. Yeah, you know, the child's in danger. Whatever it is, it's not good. Yeah, Izzy, thank you again for sharing. Yeah, there's no way I would have stayed there. All right, what's next? What do we got? This one is by Curious D, and it's titled The House. Okay, Curious D, let's see what you got, man. This incident involved my mother and father back in the early 1990s and creeps me out to this day. My parents' house, I still call it that, however my mother passed away in 2001, is located in a very rural area, no neighbors on either side and surrounded by woods. The driveway is approximately 800 feet long. If you didn't know what to look for, you'd drive right by it and miss the house. Next to the house, my father built a large two-story garage. It has three separate rooms on the ground floor and one above. It's not your typical garage, but that's what we call it. This incident occurred in the late morning hours on a nice spring day. My parents were outside chatting in front of the garage. The house is quite close to the garage. As they were chatting, a tremendous banging sound came from inside of the house. My father described it as, it sounded like someone was banging on the walls with a sledgehammer. He immediately became angry and said, "What the heck are those kids doing? They're going to wreck the house." Yes, we were active, rowdy kids, so I'm not surprised he immediately thought it was us messing around. He started towards the house to see what we were up to when my mother grabbed his arm and said, "The kids are in school." Apparently, she was white as a ghost, and my father stood there shocked, processing everything. After a few minutes, they went in to investigate and found nothing out of the ordinary. No damage, nothing was out of place. My father has told this story several times over the years, and the details remain the same. I heard the same from my mother a few times before she passed. It's still mind-boggling. How could something cause that amount of noise? Remember, it was a beautiful day, no storms, nothing out of place. The sound emanated from the side of the house facing the garage. It was commonplace to hear footsteps in the house, usually coming from my parents' bedroom and the attic. But this incident was completely out of the ordinary. And it never happened again. I've always wondered how and why, but I've settled on who knows. We just added it to the list of strange things that have happened there. Thank you. And that's from Curious D. Curious D, thank you very much for sharing. Yeah, kind of spooky. And I love the story. You know, I love these. You know, broad daylight, beautiful day, spring day. You know, as I said before, some people live with these things. And it sounds like your parents or you guys just are aware of something with the house. You know, it's common that you guys hear footsteps from your parents' bedroom and the attic. Doesn't really bother you. But this time, yeah, the banging sounds, yeah, very loud, as you described it. Yeah, I would have been kind of angry too, thinking the kids are there, you guys aren't there. Maybe it was trying to get your parents' attention. They were outside. It was banging on the house that was facing the garage. They go in. It stops banging, of course. And it never happened again. So, I don't know. Maybe whatever it was, trying to get your parents' attention. And, you know, it was just happy that they went inside. Who knows why it did it or what caused it. Yeah, like I said, just another thing to add to the strange things that's happened there. I'd like to hear more. Yeah, right back. What other things have been happening at that place? Yeah, Curious D, Thank you again. And, well, that's it. Yeah, short and sweet. Good stories. And for you new guys out there, if you have a paranormal experience you want to share to the world, just send it to me, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at realparanormalactivity.com, and I'll read it off on a future episode. And as always, just go to realparanormalactivity.com and listen to the podcast there and watch the videos and the movies. Or if you're at work and you're on one of the streaming platforms such as iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, etc., etc., we're on there as well. So if you want to get your spook on, just do a search for us, Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast. And with that, I am calling it. The show's been produced by myself and Britton, as also made possible by LaFosse Corporation. And man, we love you guys. Oh yeah, we do. As always, thank you, and good night.